Good morning, Avalon Church. Yeah, I love hearing that. Thank you. It's so nice. Now, if you're in middle school, we've started this new class for middle schoolers. You guys are free to go to your classes if you desire. And, you know, we're in part two of this vision series, what I'm calling Vision 1.0, because this is all about getting on purpose with what God wants to do. And so I thought we'd start today. Let's look at the scripture passage, and we're going to be in Colossians. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the city of Colossae, which is in modern-day Turkey. And we're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 9. So you can just look at the screens if you'd like, or you're welcome to open your Bibles or turn on your phones, and we'll read this. It says, and this is a prayer that Paul prays. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Now, last week, you know, when we started this passage, which I have to say, or we started this series, the song we just sang is like the best overview of what we did last week. That we are called to both go and grow. And we found this, there it is. To go and grow. We are called to go and make disciples, to go and grow together. And so that song we just sang was like the perfect introduction, because it was that first part of what Jesus said, that as we go, as we live our lives, we are called to go and make disciples, help people, love people, serve people, and invite them to walk alongside us to follow Jesus, right? And then as we walk together, we invite them to mature in their faith alongside us, to grow together, to go out and grow deep together. That is our mission. And so our immediate focus, the reason I call it Vision 1.0, is because this is about internalizing this call that Jesus has given us to help every single ministry in our church, everything that we do as a church, be a part of fulfilling that mission. That if we're not going or we're not growing, then let's just not do that, right? I mean, we want to be totally involved in what Jesus calls us to do. And so when we go, we're asking God to open our eyes to the world around us, to the way he sees them. You are God of the city. Help us to see our city and our neighbors and our neighborhoods and our community and the people around us, our families. Help us, Lord. Help us to see these people through your eyes. God, help us to see ourselves through your eyes. And so we pray for our neighbors, and we build relationships and we serve them. I mean, that is what we do. And we share with them the hope that Jesus offers them: life, forgiveness of sin, hope, and a future. So we've talked about ways that we are living this out last week. We talked about ways we can do it better. And that's one of the reasons that we updated our logo. By the way, thank you guys, so many of you. You know, when you introduce a logo or any kind of change, you're always like, I think I'm reading this right. I hope this goes well. Thank you so much. Many of you emailed me or texted me or just told me how much you appreciated it and how much you're excited about it, and that you really sense the momentum that I sense. And so we're really excited. But if you missed it last week, I wanted to show you the various things that we presented last week. And I couldn't tell you, when I shared the kids and the youth and the Spanish and you guys clapped and cheered, I was like inside. I almost danced, you know, like in front of you, and that would have been embarrassing. So my wife would probably not come back for a couple of weeks if that happened. Now, maybe you're like me. Wasn't it cool this week to see the Avalon Church magnets all over the place? It was a Chick-fil-A. I'm always at Chick-fil-A. It was an Avalon Magnet. I was at Walmart last night. Another Avalon Magnet. I've been driving like even Waterford area and all around, and they're everywhere. And just it, you don't know what that does to me. I just really exciting to see all of that. If you didn't get one, they're available at no cost to you at guest services and out in the lobby. Grab one on your way out if you did not get one or you weren't here last week. See, we really do trust that if we're committed to go and be Jesus' hands and feet, that he really will do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine as we help people find Jesus. We really believe that. And we really believe that if we are faithful to his call to go and to grow, that he will do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in bringing people to maturity and faith. See, I really, really believe this, that we can go and we can do, but when God shows up, everything changes. I really believe that. Now, I did want to give you an update also. Last week, I shared with you a story about a 15-year-old that I had met the Thursday before. And this past week, he did come back and he came and saw me because I've been texting him like crazy saying, man, are you okay? What's going on? You know, did all the things you said were going to happen happen? And he is staying with his mom right now. And he said to me that things were very good. And I'm so excited. Yeah, amen. Now, the reality is we're going to see how this goes. I'm hoping that he stays in contact. But I got to tell you, thank you for all of the comments, the texts, the emails, offering to help, bringing clothes to us for him, offering him a room. You don't even know this 15-year-old, yet you offered him a room, so many of you. I, last week, rejoiced and thanked God with a grateful heart that I am a part of a generous and selfless church like you showed me this past week. Thank you. It's stuff like this that I get really excited about because I know that when a people say, God, what I have is yours, use it as you will, he does in amazing ways. And so it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. So last week was going, this week I want to jump into the scriptures because Paul, there's so many scriptures about this going concept and growing concept, but the Apostle Paul says a prayer in Colossians, the one we just read, I really want to talk to you about. And for those of you who know I like maps, I wanted to show you that where the action is happening today because Paul, when he wrote this, he was in prison in the city of Ephesus, which is way on the left side, the west side of Turkey. And this is where, you know, he was all over the Greek Isles, which you can see in red, and he was in Ephesus and all over Turkey, which back then, or what we call Asia Minor. And he writes this in prison. He's writing this to a very young church deep in, you know, about 100 miles inland from him. And he is thrilled that this church has accepted the gospel. They have heard the message of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and they have come and they have given their allegiance to Jesus as Lord and King. And so the gospel, this good news of Jesus, has taken root and it is now growing and bearing fruit. And in verses 9 through 14, Paul prays this prayer, asking God to continue growing in them. And then he paints a beautiful picture of what growth looks like. So I wanted to dig in a little deeper. And let's look at this verse 9, and we're going to go through 14. Because, you know, for this reason, Paul says, for since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. I mean, Paul is doing all he can to help this church grow. He's writing this letter, but he's in jail. He's in prison. He knows he can't do much. He can't visit them. He can't encourage them other than writing a letter. So he does. He does what he can do. And he says, this is how you grow. Now, I want to remind you, when I say grow, I am not talking about a church growing in numbers. That's kind of what I mean by go. Going out and helping more and more people find out about this message in Jesus. But when I say grow, I'm talking about maturity. And this passage, Paul is talking about how to grow into maturity. And so he does all he can. He writes a letter, but Paul is profoundly aware that there is so much more going on than the eye can see. See, God has called us to participate with him, yes, to go and teach and serve, to be his hands and feet in the world. And so we do. We go. We love people in Jesus' name. We love our enemies and we pray for those who persecute us in Jesus' name. But we know this. We know that we can go and do and teach and serve. We can do all of that, but we have zero power over the results. All we can say is, yes, Jesus, we will go and be faithful, but we don't have any power over the results. I can share the message of Jesus, and if people respond or don't, I can't help that, right? You can't help what happens in people's hearts. We don't have the power to transform the heart, but God does, right? God invites us to participate with him, but only he can bring the transformation. Only he can bring the change of heart. So Paul prays for them. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. What else could he do, right? Write a letter and pray. Because nothing could stop him from praying. Nothing. You know, the same God who is his God was the God of the church in Colossae. And Paul knew he had a direct line of helping this church grow by just lifting them up in prayer. He knew growth comes from God. And his prayer gives us some keys to growing that I think will benefit every single one of us in here today. So in continuing in verse 9, he says, we continually, and Paul is talking about he and his co-workers, those who are with him, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. This is such a big deal. Knowing God's will. I mean, if I asked you, what is God's will for your life? So many of us would go, oh, right? What is God's will for your life? But see, knowing God's will, that's a mark of maturity. That is a mark that you're growing. And so Paul taught them and prayed that they would know God's will. That as they prayed, as they listened to God in the quietness of their spirit, as they read the scriptures, and as they meditated on the scriptures and memorized the scriptures, when they came together as a church family and were taught the scriptures and discussed the scriptures, when they took communion together and witnessed and participated in baptism together. See, the Spirit takes all of this stuff and he creates something in us so much bigger. Wisdom. The profound ability to know and understand God's will for us. His good and perfect will. But then Paul throws us a curveball. Because, you know, you go, okay, we're asking God to fill us with knowledge, with wisdom, and with understanding. Is that the goal of growing? Learning more? Understanding more? Being wise? Is that the goal? But it's not. Not to Paul. Those are foundational. But you need to look at the two words that follow. We gain knowledge of God's will through wisdom and understanding so that some of the most important words in Scripture. This happens so that this happens. We ask God to fill us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we may live lives worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. See, growing is more than learning and understanding stuff. Those aren't the goal. Those are the means to a goal. And let me tell you, you know, I've grown up in church since I was in high school. I have been to seminary. I have been to, you know, higher than that. I feel like I have known and learned and gained knowledge my whole life, and I do love it. I am a book nerd. I'm a Bible nerd. I love theology, and I love all of that. But I can tell you now, I've learned a lot. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't. I always want to learn more, but I find it's a hole that can't be filled. Because this is good. Learning is good. If it wasn't, I've wasted most of my life. But learning is good. It is the foundation of the purpose. It is the means to the end. The end is the so that we might live lives worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. That's the definition of growing. See, this is so good. I say so, right? It's learning a little and then doing a little. And then learning some more and doing some more. It's not learning until you've got it all figured out, then finally I can go do something with it. It's taking God's showing you one little nugget and you obeying it. And then he'll show you something a little bit more and then you obey that. That's why Jesus said, you know, because you have been faithful with a little, I will give you much. That's why, because if we're not applying and doing and obeying in those small areas that we've already learned, why would God allow us to understand and learn and have wisdom about the big things? We're not going to do anything with that either. So this is growth. Learning a little and doing a little and learning more and doing more. And then one day you find out a couple of years later, oh my goodness, look at how far I've come. I didn't even recognize it. But boy, if I look back a couple of years ago, I'm so different than I was then. I would challenge you to think, if you look back in your Christian life, and maybe some of you, you've only been a believer for, you know, a year, a couple months. Maybe last week was the week you chose to follow Jesus. But for many of us in here, it's been a couple of years. If you look back 3 years, I want to ask you, are you in the same place where you were then? Are you worse? I mean, have you, like, what's the opposite of growth? Have you shrunk? Is that right? I don't know. Have you seen growth in your life in the past couple of years? I would venture to say many of us would say no. Many of us would say, well, I've learned more. But if the definition of growth is learning and doing and learning more and doing more, maybe I haven't. I think that's what Paul is praying for us, for the believers at Colossae, and for all believers, that we would learn to grow. Because knowledge is a lot like food. If we keep consuming and keep consuming but don't exercise, we just get overweight and sluggish and tired and ineffective. But if we keep studying scripture and theology, we go to Bible studies, we go to church, we listen to sermons on podcasts, and we fill ourselves up, but we never live it out. We're not growing to maturity. We're getting fat, which is common for me in a lot of ways. But we are, and that's not what God calls us to do. That's not growth. When we do that, when we just eat and get knowledge and listen to all that stuff, which is good. It's good to listen. But if we're taking it all in and we don't act on it, we don't exercise, faith, our relationship with God, just seems unfulfilling and kind of boring. The doubts in our life rise up because we're not seeing God do anything great. And our faith just seems kind of, eh. Those of you who follow Jesus, does that describe your life, eh, with God? Because that is not what his desire is. His desire is for you to experience life. His desire is for you to see God work in ways that Paul has prayed and we talked about last week, that we see him do immeasurably. I mean, the word immeasurably is such a big word, immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. I can ask for a lot, but I can imagine a ton. And God says, oh, I can do immeasurably more than that. That's the kind of faith that God desires for us. And then we go, yeah, I know, but you don't know all that's happened to me and all the pain and the suffering and the frustration that I've gone through. And I go, I know. But Paul does, and you'll see in a minute, he actually talks about that too. But God, he wants our faith to be vibrant. And the only way that it can grow into vibrance is learn a little, do a little. Learn a little, do a little. I want you to look at the screen. This is a really important concept, but it's a little confusing. Growing without going is not really growing at all. But going without growing, that just burns you out. Let me explain this, because I want this to sink in. You might be, in your mind, growing. You're studying more. You're thinking about more, you're listening to more, you're going to church and listening to the podcasts, and you think you're growing, but if you're not acting out on what God is showing you, if you're not being obedient to the things that God is showing you, you're just missing the point. Because growing always, and I'm going to emphasize that word, always leads to going. Growing always leads to action. always to doing something, to obedience. That's why in our life groups, if you see this semester, those of you who are going through the fall semester that we put out, you'll see at the end it says every week, one of the last questions is, what has God told me, or what have I felt like God is telling me to do as a result of today's scripture? Because growing always leads to going. And going, which you can go without growing. You can just go. But it's not sustainable. Because if you're always going and doing and working and running 100 miles an hour, and you're not growing and you're not stopping and you're not praying and allowing God to fill your spirit, if you are going in your own strength, you're just going to burn out. You can't keep up that kind of pace. You have to allow God to speak to your heart. You need to serve and go from an overflow. You need to allow the Spirit of God to fill you and grow you, and to allow His people to pour into you, and for you to pour into other people. See, you were made to know and love God, to love people and know them. I heard a long time ago that we often call ourselves human beings, which is good. We are being. We are His. We be His. I'm sorry, the English language really ruins that, but we are His. Yet, in some ways, we're also called to be human doings. We are His who act in His name. We are both. Jesus called us to grow and go. It's both. One always leads to the other. It is like a circle. We go and we pour our bucket into the bucket of others as God pours into our bucket. And that's what it is. We are growing and God is pouring into our bucket, and then we're going and just pouring our bucket into the bucket of other people's. And some of us have 5-gallon Home Depot and Lowe's buckets that you're just like pouring it in. Some of us have little thimbles. You know, God doesn't say, get bigger buckets. God, it's just, Lord, whatever bucket you've given me, fill it. I'll pour it into other people. And God does not call us to fill other people's buckets. I have no power to do that. You have no power. It is not my responsibility to make sure that you say yes to Jesus. My responsibility is to take whatever God has given me and just give it to you. Take my bucket and pour it into yours. What you do with it, that's between you and the Lord. And when you pour into other people what they do with it, that's between them and God. So let's be faithful. We learn a little bit and our bucket gets full and we just pour it into other people. And what's amazing is, and there's so many stories in the Bible like this, but when we pour our bucket into the bucket of others and we look back in our bucket, it's not empty. God just keeps pouring into it and pouring into it. But if we're pouring into other people and God's not pouring into our bucket, we're just dying on the vine. I'm debating in my mind whether I say this or not. you know, when I came to Avalon Church, I saw tiredness. I saw a lot of work being done by a couple of people. I saw a lot of people working so hard and needing a break so bad. And I made it, and one of my mantras at the beginning was, how is your soul? How is your soul? How is your heart? Because if your heart is burdened, if you need a break, please, doesn't even matter what happens in the ministry that you're leading, take the break. Because God wants us to be healthy. Healthy people create amazing works for God. Broken, empty people just leave ministry. I've been there. I don't want that to happen. Growing leads to going, leads to more growing. And when we see God do something, I promise you this, it changes everything. When you are going in the power of the Spirit and you just start serving and emptying your bucket, and then all of a sudden, slowly, you start seeing what God does through that, there is nothing more exciting. There is nothing that fills you up more than watching God transform somebody's life because of what you felt like was a futile effort. It is amazing. That's what He calls us to do. There is no experience that you could have or item that you could buy that is more fun and more satisfying than being where God is working. And those of you who have been there, you know that's true. Nothing beats it. You're like, I'd give up my house. I'd give up my job. I'd give up everything if I could be a part of what God's doing. But you don't know that until you've been there. And it is awesome. And I want to invite us as a church, let's go on that journey. Let's do that. God, fill our buckets so that we can fill others, and let's see what he does. And it's going to be good. Let's look at the result. When we go with passion and we grow with passion, it says in Colossians and the rest of verse 10, it says that we begin to bear fruit in every good work. Man, that's fun. You work and you see results. Oh, that's so much more fun than working and just going, you know, I got nothing to show for it. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. See, God's intention is for our lives to flourish and bear fruit. When did we buy into this lie that God is up there going, you're going to screw up. You're just going to screw up. And if you actually do anything right, I'm going to be like, glad you got one thing right. I mean, that's the way we see God as this killjoy who is just like, judge, you know, no mercy for you. Like the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. That's so many of us think that. No soup for you. No grace for you. No happiness. We want miserable Christians. That's what you feel like. And that is so the opposite of what God really is. His intention is for our lives to flourish, for us to bear fruit, to know him intimately. Soup Nazi doesn't want anybody to know them intimately. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that whoever, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or what you've become, whoever trusts in his son experiences life. He wants to strengthen us with his power. Does God's power in your life define your spirituality? Because we're invited by God to join him, to bring life to the world, to love and to experience love, to be a part of what God is doing in people's lives and have our lives changed as well. Because as we participate with God, as we grow and go, we're changed. God begins to strengthen us in his power and fill our bucket with his power. And he transforms us and grows us, and I love these last three words, endurance and patience. See, this is a big deal because a lot of us think, well, the reason my life stinks so bad is because I have this going on. This has gone wrong in my life. This is the pain that I'm suffering. And I know. You know, I've shared my story with you about my first wife passing away when I was in my 20s. I know. Right now, there are people in this room who are struggling with deep hurts, some of which are not even known by anybody in this room. We have people not here today that we love because they've had surgery recently. We have people in here who are struggling deeply. God never promised that life would be easy. What he promises that is that in the end, all will be made right. His promise, though, now, while we have to live through it, is that as he fills our bucket, look at those last three words, we get endurance and patience. We can make it through the power of the Spirit that's filling our bucket and that's strengthening us and empowering us. Life's not going to be easy, but you're not alone. We're not alone. When you go through it, you're not supposed to be alone. Not only is the Holy Spirit living inside of you and filling you and developing in you endurance and patience, you also get to walk with a family. You and me, together. We're a family. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to experience pain alone. Yeah, in the end, all will be made right. And that is my great hope. But until then, even in the struggle, God develops in us endurance and patience. And look at verse 12. To give us joy, to make us be able. I mean, this is crazy when you think about it. I'm going through all of the pain of my life, yet in the process of making of developing patience and endurance, we can now give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. I mean, developing a grateful heart, let me tell you, that does not come naturally, does it? Just ask my kids, hey, Mom, I want this. You give it to them. Pew! Hey, what about a thanks? Man, all the time I'm just like, I just want to be asked. I know you have expectations of me. I just want to be asked and thanked, right? I will be a good dad if you ask and thank. If you don't, I'm just mean. And we want to be thanked, but it does not come naturally. Yet as God fills our bucket and grows us, we have this capacity to begin giving joyful thanks, not just thanks God, but like, oh my goodness, you have no idea what my life would be like if God did not come and start filling my bucket. You have no idea the mess I would be in if I did not choose to follow Jesus. Oh, thank you, God, that you have done so much for me that I don't deserve. Thank you, God. See, maturity, growing in maturity, recognizes that without Jesus, I am an utter mess. But with Jesus, I'm a mess that's getting cleaner and cleaner every day. I'm not there. Oh, but I'm not where I used to be. Jesus, in him, I am a child of the King. In him, I am blameless. I am redeemed. I don't deserve it. God, why would you want to share your inheritance with me? Why? I don't know, but he has, and he promises to, and I can't tell you how grateful that makes me. I don't deserve it, so thank you, God, for it. Help me live it out every day. Help me grow in your power and go in your power. I mean, that is our vision. To internalize this going and growing that leads to going, that leads to growing, that we internalize this as a church so that every ministry, everything we do says that is our focus. That is why we do what we do. It's really easy to go, this is a good thing over here, but I don't know if our church should spend our time and money and resources on that if it's not going and growing. It becomes a lot easier. So vision 1.0, internalizing this. Jesus, this is why you have made, this is your calling for our church. So I want to spend the last part of the message today just sharing a couple of snapshots, like I did last week, of what we're doing and what we're currently doing, ways we can improve, and just kind of let you know what's going on. And so the first one, in like I said last week, Sunday, because Sundays are about going and growing. You know, for the going part, we want this to be a safe place for people who do not know if there even is a God. But they can come to this place without judgment, knowing that they are welcome in this place. They have the freedom to listen, to ask questions, to be here and discover Jesus. We want people to be able to come into this place and get the big picture of what it means to follow Jesus. Most of our messages end with some kind of opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Once in a while, we even do series that are specifically designed for you to invite friends so that they can hear what God has for them. We want people to say yes to Jesus in this place. Amen? We do. But that's part of it, right? Because we also know that we are in this place knowing God wants to fill our bucket. God wants to grow us. We want to have times of quiet, times of reflection, times where God can speak to our heart, times where we learn the scriptures, times where we can wrestle with different concepts and different ideas about who God is and what he has done. So, and you, I hope you know this. If you don't, I'll just claim it now. But every single week, the message is not about Don giving you what he thinks. Because honestly, what Don thinks changes year after year. Honestly, what Don thinks often is, from my wife's perspective, not that good, okay? She's laughing because it's true. I mean, we're all this way, right? Every week, the messages are based on Scripture, not Don. Every week when we talk, it is based upon what God wants to say to us through his word, because we know that it is his word that the Spirit seems to use to change our lives in ways nothing else does, right? I mean, this God's word is powerful. In every message, I always try to answer my favorite question. Anytime anybody says anything to me, my favorite question is, so what? Who cares? What does that matter to my life? I always ask that question. I think one of the most vital things that a preacher can do is to share the scriptures and then say, so what? What does this mean for us? Who cares? Why should I care? And I always try to apply that in our messages, because I really think that the Bible is relevant to every generation. I believe that the Bible has the power to change not just the lives of people who lived 2,000 years ago, but our lives as well. And so every week we have an application, and usually we will put the action steps on your connection card. I know a lot of you are like, I'm still not used to this connection card thing at the bottom of the bulletin. I never even look at it. Please look at it. You're hurting my heart when you say that to me. The connection card is just an opportunity for you to see what kind of action steps. What are some little, you know, you learn a little, you do a little baby action steps that you can take advantage of. You know, if you promise to pray for somebody, I'm probably not going to contact you and go, did you pray for them? But we ask you to mark it because, one, it helps us pray for you. But, two, it also is just one other way that you can go, yep, I am making an actual commitment. Jesus, I am going to do this for you this week, between you and God. But also, you know, maybe you want information about following Christ. Maybe you want information about baptism, or you're just curious about our church, or you want to serve and you want to volunteer. That's what that thing is there for. You don't have to try to call us or figure out where to go on the website. And so, please fill that thing out. It is so helpful, and I get them, and they will always go to the different ministries if you're interested in helping in some way. That's why that's there. You can turn it in the offering, the plate at the end of the service. You can put it in the boxes, but I always want to make sure that people have little action steps. I also wanted to thank you because a few weeks ago I shared about where we were financially, and I shared about some need, and that as a church family, you know, we know what God's called us to do, and ministry is expensive, and to do that, it takes us coming together and sacrificing together as a family. And you know, after that message, several people in this room began giving for the first time on a consistent basis, and I wanted to say thank you. Several of you upped your normal giving, and I want to say thank you, because when I became a pastor here last January, the church was spending a lot more money every week than we were bringing in through the offerings. And every time a church goes through a pastor transition, like what Avalon went through, giving goes down dramatically. Thank God that your leaders over the years were smart enough and wise enough to prepare for a rainy day. Otherwise, we would have had to make drastic changes in staff when I came, because we were frankly spending significant dollars more every month out of our savings than we were bringing in. Now, while we're not yet to, you can look at the, if you ever want to know the numbers, they're always on the bulletin, but you can look and see, while we're not yet bringing in our budget, the trajectory has gotten steadily better and better and better every single month. And for that, I am so grateful. And so I want to tell you thank you, because when our family comes together and says, you know, we're going to do this, and we do, I think it honors God. And I think that it allows us to be able to go and to grow in ways that we couldn't if we didn't come together that way. So I wanted to say thank you. We're not quite there yet, but boy, are we getting better. And so I really, that was additional. Just wanted to say thank you. So let me go to the next ministry real quick, because we talked about it last week as well, but I wanted to talk about the growing side. Life groups, small groups of people. If you're new here, you don't know everybody else, you're sick of me saying it, but small groups of people that meet during the week. You know, I wanted to explain, some life groups, they're new, they might last a semester or two. Some life groups are like the Bible studies that have been going on for eternity past and will be going on into eternity future. I'm hoping that when Jesus comes back, they stop. But they might not. You never know, because they're just such a permanent fixture in our church. But we have Bible studies, like the women's Bible study, I think that's starting last week, you know, on Wednesdays, and then they have another one on Thursdays. So these are Bible studies. But we also have book studies or topical studies. We have classes. I think, Doug Moorhead, your class is starting this Monday night on the Gospels. And so right now, we have about 246 people in our church, adults, involved in 24 groups. That's not bad. That's way better than we were in January. So I'm excited about that. Yet, that's about 50% of our church. So, woo! Avalon Church, 50% of our church is involved in a life group. And then, oh, that means 50% of our church is not yet involved in this kind of community. And so my prayer, and I will tell you, and people always laugh at me because, but my prayer always is 100% of our weekly attendance is in small group. That's not everybody, because not everybody comes on Sunday, on one Sunday. That's called Easter. But 100% of our weekly attendance being in life group, because I really believe that unless you are in community, you are not experiencing life the way God designed it. It's not just a program of Avalon Church. I mean, honestly, if you can figure out community outside of a small group, then go do it. I just can't. That's why we do this here. You need to be in community. And if you don't have it, I challenge you. Go on our website and sign up for a life group, even today. Because you need it. It is how you grow. It's not too late. It's not too late to sign up, even though we started last week. Now, I'm putting together a leadership team. Dennis, why don't you start coming down here? Because I wanted you to hear a quick story. I'm putting together a leadership team to help lead this life group ministry. And Dennis has been just incredibly helpful. He actually wrote a lot of the life group study that we're going through this semester. And he shared a story with me this week of how he was a part of a group that did the whole going and growing and going and growing thing. And so Dennis, this is Dennis, everybody. Give him a hand because it's always scary to be up here.
Good morning.
Why don't you share with us your story?
Happy to. Well, Betty and I, before we came here to Avalon, we served with Crew. And we served in the country of Latvia. It's in Northern Europe for almost 20 years. But really, the most significant time of our experience there was in the last 6 years there when we moved out of the capital city and into a small village that was just outside of the city. But there was no church in this village, and so we just kept going to the church that we had been part of in the city. And so it was about a 30, 45-minute trip to get back to church each Sunday. And so we did that for the first 4 or 5 months we were there. And then we connected with some other Christians there, and we decided that as spring approached and the 6 months of snow finally melted and people got out of their houses, that we would start connecting with them and just see what God would do to help us reach our neighbors. And so we started with spring a Bible study in our neighborhood, and really a great group of people came together. And by the time fall came around, we had a great small group, life group, meeting in our home, to the point that we looked at each other and said, you know, we really don't want to go back on a 45-minute trek to church. We want to have church right here in our home. And so that began us having church in our house. And over the next couple years, we connected with a lot of people, including a young couple that their daughter was a part of our school, friends with Rachel. And they came to Christ and started following with our group. And then Lord led them to move to another village about 20 miles away, and they continued to drive back to our life group and continued to take part. But then one day he came to me and said, you know, I think I can do what you've been doing here in my village. And so he started another group in his village. And one of the mothers he reached was a single mom. She had 4 kids, and she became part of his group. Well, one day, Martin and I were riding back from a meeting, and his phone rings. He picks it up, and he's talking to her, hangs up, and he says, can we make a detour by the hospital? She's in the hospital. Her youngest son, 18 months old, they think he has tuberculosis. And I'm like, well, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. And he said, well, can we go by and pray for him? And I'm like, well, is it safe? Well, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm like, okay. So we go in the hospital, and we're in there, and we walk in, and she is just crying and weeping and just in tears and so grateful that we're there. And we're very thankful to be there and be praying for her. But then she ends with these words, you know, there's a lot of people, I didn't know what to do. I know people, but you guys are the only Christians I know. You're the only ones. And it struck me that, you know, how many people are around us in our neighborhood, in our community, that if we don't get out and go to them, as we're growing in fellowship together, they don't have anybody to turn to. and to go to. And I really think God is wanting to, you know, as you shared, pour into us, and as we pour into other people, and as we do it in our communities, there are people out there that need somebody to pour into them if we'll just step out. So that's really what I do with Crew, is working with starting small groups, and I'm just grateful to be part of it here in Avalon as well.
So thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. Thank you, him. When Dennis shared that story with me last week, you know, it was that you're the only Christians that we knew statement that really got me, because you think about it, your neighbors, you know, if they suddenly find out they have cancer, if they suddenly find out that their child who was just born might be dying, they might know a lot of churches around. They might know a lot of church people, but do they know any Christians, any people, Christian, little Christs? Do they know any people who follow Jesus that they would be comfortable enough asking them, would you pray for me? I'm scared. I don't know what to do. See, my hunch is we all know a lot of people, kinda, but we don't know them intimately and deeply, like close friends. As our life groups go and as our life groups grow and get to know our neighbors and pray for our neighbors, I want that to happen, where people go, I want people to say that to our group, that I didn't know where to go, and then I thought of you, and I knew there was going to be somebody who'd care for me or walk with me or pray for me. That's what it's about. If you're not in a group, you need that. You need that kind of place where you can grow together and go together. There's so many other things I had on here. I'm not going to be able to go through them. So I'll just, do you mind if I just bounce? Because we have an amazing Awana program where kids grow here, even beyond our children and youth ministries. We have prayer meetings here. I want to tell you, if you don't know how to pray, or if you want to see God working through prayer, I want to encourage you to be a part of this meeting. Because when you are around people who know how to pray, you learn to pray. And when you are around people who deeply desire God to move and they're praying for it, you see him move. So this is not for the prayer warriors who have it all together. This meeting is for everybody who wants to be a part of what God is doing through prayer. We have an Israel trip I was going to share about, but we don't have time. So October 7th, we have an info meeting if you're interested. But again, this is about growing, walking where Jesus walked. Nothing will help you read the Bible differently than that. And then the last one, Celebration Sunday. You know, when we celebrate baptism together, there is nothing greater than this picture of new life and growth. The whole reason we're having baptism on our 10th anniversary celebration is because what better way to celebrate what God has done, this new life that he has birthed at Avalon Church, than by showing amazing pictures of new life. We have like 10 people already signed up to be baptized on that day, and we haven't talked about it a lot. I want to encourage you. Today, as well as next week, each day we're going to offer, right after the service, kind of an info meeting, 10 minutes long. If you are wondering about baptism or thinking, man, I should be, or my favorite ones, I've been going to this church for 10 years. Everybody probably thinks I'm baptized. It's not too late. Come to this meeting. Be a part. I mean, we're going to just be right up here this week, and then we'll do it again next week. But find out information about baptism. Sign up for it. There is nothing better than celebrating together. I mean, this room, which will be outside, will light up when people are baptized, because it is exciting. Let me close with these words. It's Paul's final words in this prayer. For the Father, for he has rescued us from the domination of darkness, dominion of darkness. Are you in darkness? Do you feel sometimes that you're just desperate for life and for light? For the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. We have been forgiven of sins, and we now get to be in his kingdom. That is the invitation. Jesus offers to rescue us and to offer life and light, to go and grow together with him, empowered by the Spirit. Have you answered that call? I'm no longer talking to Avalon Church. I'm talking to you as individuals. Put a little circle around yourself. Have you answered the call? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you said yes to following him? Have you said yes to, I'll learn a little and I'll grow, I'll do a little and I'll learn a little and I'll do a little? Have you said yes to do what he has called you to do? Because that is his call for you again today. Will you say yes? Let's pray together. Jesus, saying yes usually means we have no idea what we're saying yes to. We're having to trust you because you only show us a little bit, just a little step. And so we say yes to take that step, and then you show us the next. There are people in here who are scared to take that step. They know life will change if they do. They know their finances will change. They know that their friends might change, their family might. They might face rejection. God, I pray that you give every person in this room courage to trust you, that there is no better path than your path, the kingdom path. God, give them courage to say yes and to follow you, whatever that is today. Help them to say yes, because where you lead truly is life. In your name.